Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I'm speaking to the coaches among us, and it doesn't matter if you coach online, in person, or both. I want to show you how to use motivational interviewing, which is a very, very unique technique that will help you speak with your clients better to help them understand what they can improve, how they can improve it to get better results more quickly. So in this episode, I speak with a personal trainer. Her name is Carrie. She's phenomenal. And basically, she asks me her questions on how she can better communicate with her clients, and I tell her exactly how she can do that. I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please leave a review on iTunes. They help a lot. I've seen a lot of people doing it recently, and I appreciate it very much. With that said, I hope you enjoy the episode. Carrie, how are you?
What's up? I'm good. How are you?
I am well. What's going on?
Just chilling. I got some free time. The grandparents took the baby out, so I'm here. I'm all yours.
How's the baby doing?
He's good. He's the best. The coolest kid ever.
How old is he now?
He is 8 months, and they just, like, keep changing, like, every day.
Already 8 months? That's so crazy.
That's what I'm saying. It's insane how the time passes.
Well, so thank you for getting on the phone with me. I appreciate you taking this time. I think, like, especially for coaches, this is one of the most misunderstood and, like, least discussed topics. So I was, like, really excited when you wanted to discuss motivational interviewing and just sort of my interaction and behavior and psychology. So I want you to just have the floor and just, like, just ask me anything you want and have any discussions that you want. Like, this will just be an open conversation.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So I was trying to go back to, like, the original question, which wasn't even really one specific question. I guess, like, what prompted me to message you is I really want to help people. Like, I want to be the best coach I can be. And I've spent time telling people what to do, giving them, you know, the perfect nutrition guidelines, like, laying it all out for them. And I still have people who, you know, will end up not committing or ghosting me or, you know what I mean, not checking in or giving up. And it's like, it's not about the program you give them. It's getting them to actually follow the program, getting them to want to change and finding out what's motivating them to reach their goals in the first place. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Better at evoking from them, you know, what they want, what's driving them, get them to come up with their own answers. And you are awesome at that. I watch your stories and the way you communicate with people. So I want to get better at peopling.
Amazing. I love that. So you have a couple specific examples already of,
I do,
of, for example, people ghosting or whatever it is. So, like, give me some examples like that we can sort of go off of, and then we can sort of discuss some, like, either communication tactics or something from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's start from jump. How about when somebody reaches out to you, they want to do, I'm going to use online coaching for an example, because I do online coaching as well as in person. But that initial conversation you have, say you jump on the phone, how do you make it more efficient? I don't want to just talk at them and tell them what they're going to do. I want to have a powerful conversation where right from the beginning I can get the ball rolling and get them moving in the right direction.
Okay, this is fantastic. So you mean the first conversation for online coaching, is this for after they've already signed on, or is this also to see,
like, even just to chat? Like, I'm not talking about how to seal the deal. I mean, I could do that if I wanted. I could promise them magic. You know, I could sell it to them easily. I'm not wanting that. I want that first conversation to really click for them to understand their why and to just kind of feel, you know, motivated to get going. I know motivation doesn't last. It's like something you have to continue with, but, you know, just to make that first conversation more powerful for them so they kind of know where they're going to go.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. How do you usually start it?
Well, I get them to tell me about themselves, tell me what they've done in the past, kind of explain their history, what's worked, what hasn't worked. kind of ask them what their main goal is, try and set some mini goals.
And how long does that conversation usually last?
I'd say usually like 15 minutes-ish. I find a lot of the time I end up more talking at them. Like they'll kind of, I feel like I'm not asking enough questions to get them talking more. I feel like sometimes I'm doing more of the talking.
And so what are you talking about?
Telling them what they're going to be doing. Like, oh, you know, this is, you'll get a calorie target and, you know, your exercise program and explaining how it's going to be delivered via the app that I have and, you know, so on and so forth. And it just doesn't feel right. You know, I can just provide that in an email telling them what's going to go down. I want it to turn around to be more about them.
Yeah. So, and I just want to clarify, I know you said like you don't need help with the selling. I guess it does this conversation usually happen before you've actually signed them on?
Yes.
Okay. So the reason that's important for me to know, and in this context, is because it sounds like what you're actually doing in this conversation is you're using this opportunity to try and sell them. Okay. Which is why you're ending up talking at them rather than giving them the opportunity to talk to about themselves. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So one thing that I've found is anytime I've done consult calls, and I don't do them anymore, but from about 2012 all the way through the beginning of 2016, yep, is I would do consult calls with all my one-on-one coaching clients. And it's actually very interesting because a lot of people will tell me that that initial call could take between 15 to 25 minutes. And right, I never had any that were less than 45 minutes.
Okay.
And usually when I start that call, the first thing that I'll do is I initiate the call by being like, okay, listen, so we both know why we're on the phone. We're here to talk about fitness and possibly working together online. But before we talk about your goals, before we talk about fitness, before we talk about anything exercise related, just tell me about you. Where did you grow up? Do you have brothers and sisters? What do you do for work? Or like, do you have any kids? What are their names? What are their favorite sports? Just tell me about yourself. And I ask these questions because number one is usually a lot of the times at the beginning of the call, there's that small talk. Right? Where she's like, hey, how's your day? Oh, yeah, so cool. I got so, the weather out is so whatever. And it's like, just the idea of small talk is really obnoxious to me, just by the name of it, because it's small talk. Nobody likes small talk. It's nobody. Not a single person likes it.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because no one likes it, but a lot of times in that consult call or in a lot of awkward situations, that's what we do. When in reality, if you just address it from the beginning and say, hey, listen, no one likes small talk. Like, it's really fucking obnoxious. I don't want to like small talk you. I want to get to know you. Immediately, like you're smiling, laughing already. Like, it's just, it alleviates a lot of the stress, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of sets the tone for the call right from the beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's really interesting is I've had a number of different responses to that introduction to the call. I would say probably like 65 to 70% of the time from that introduction alone, yeah, I've had people speak for 30 minutes straight.
That's awesome.
With like, without a breath, they just go. And they tell me like things that I never would have learned about them before, things that I never would have heard about them. And a lot of times what they'll do is through that, they'll end up telling you their why. They'll end up going down that route to why they're on the phone with you in that moment. And I think a lot of times we just expect people just to tell us what's going on and their motivation when we haven't earned that trust yet.
I got you.
Like, who are we to ask them that? And like, not to mention, sometimes people don't really know. Like, as a coach, we just expect them to know. But it's like, how would they know? Like, they don't necessarily need to know this. They just know they want to make a change. Your job as a coach is to help them understand why they want to make that change. And we can't just expect them to know why off the bat. Sometimes just listening from everything from where they grew up, what their parents did for work, how their relationship was with their parents, where they went to school, did they go to school? Like, what's their job? Like, what do they have kids? What are their kids' favorite sports? Like, when you get this stuff, they will then tell you, like, and this is why. Like, this is why I want to make that change, because I didn't realize that, like, I wasn't setting a good example for my kids, or I didn't realize that I had let myself go this far away from where I was in high school, or whatever it is. There's so many different ways. But then also you learn, you have a lot of anchor points now for conversation. You have a lot of points where you can then bring up, and it's one thing to say, like, your kid. It's another thing to say, like, your son, Jacob.
I got you.
You know what I mean? It's like, now you know their son's name. Now you know what their daughter's favorite sport is. Now, like, you have anchor points that they know you're not just, like, some coach looking to make a sale. You're actually, like, someone who actually cares about them as an individual.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and I will say, so, I mean, I say that was about, like, 65 to 70% of the time where people will just talk for 30 plus minutes straight. Like, it's not uncommon.
Yeah.
A very small percentage of time, I'll have people who will just be like, listen, like, I really just want to fucking lose some fat and let's just get started. I'd say that's probably about like 10 to 15% of the time. And it's almost always, not 100%, but probably 98% of the time of that 10 to 15%, it's almost always dudes.
Okay.
Almost always. The vast majority of people who are going to talk for a very, very long time tend to be women. Just like, they are usually more open and honest about how they're feeling. They're more in touch with how they're feeling, so they're more willing to discuss it. It's not 100%. It's not always, but that's definitely a common theme that I've had. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions on that?
No, that makes so much sense. And I mean, that comes natural to me with my in-person clients because I see them often. And I do know a lot about them. You know, I know their kids' names and all that. So it is easier for me to have powerful conversations with them, I guess. So I definitely apply the same thing to my online clients, especially with that first call. Like, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think from a number of perspectives in terms of, I think what's a really, really important piece to keep in mind from that, what I just said, is the small talk part.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes small talk.
Oh, they don't.
And I think a lot of times when people get on a consult call, they're expecting you to talk and they're expecting you to say, like, how much the program costs and what they're going to get from it. What they're not expecting is for you to give an hour of your time to listen to them. And a lot of times what I would do is I would say, listen, at the very beginning, I'd be like, listen, I just want to hear about you. And just so you know, from the very beginning, and I would say this, my phrasing would be, I'm going to make a very bad salesman move right now. And I'm going to say, whether or not you sign on, I don't care. Yeah. All I care about is that at the end of this call, you have more confidence and better understand how to achieve your goals. That's all I care about.
That's awesome.
And now all of a sudden they're like, there's a lot, like, the walls are down. They don't feel like they're like, they have to put on a front. They don't feel like that you're trying to make a sale the entire time. And they can actually just tell you who they are, where they come from, and why they want to do what they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, next question.
See, that's awesome. Like I say, just from the beginning, it matters so much, that first conversation. So let's go farther down. So you've started with them. You know, they're all gung-ho. They're all excited. Things are going well. And then they just start ghosting you. Whether it's you've told them to check in daily or weekly or whatnot, laid out all the, you know, all the rules on check-ins, and you find yourself constantly chasing them. I know usually if someone's ghosting you, they're probably, something could be happening in their life. Or maybe they're just ashamed that they didn't do their week perfectly. So I was just curious on, like, your way, like, the best, well, not the best way, but how you would approach a client who's been ghosting you.
Yeah. So I'm going to do the same thing again. I'm going to ask you, what do you do first? And then I'm going to go over a couple of things that I've done.
Oh, I constantly check in. I'll check in every single day.
Like, what does your check-in look like?
An email. It'll be like, hey, where are you? With, like, funny, goofy eyes or, you know, the next day I'll be like, hey, everything okay over there? And then, you know, maybe the third day I'll say, you know, just hope everything's okay. And, you know, I just show that I care, that I'm not there to grade them. You know, it's like, this isn't, it's not school. I'm not here to give you a score out of 10.
You know, I'm here to help you. So if something is going down, you know, just to kind of let them know that the door is open.
Yeah. So just from right off the bat, I think you're handling it better than 99% of coaches. Just, I think you have a very, very solid way of doing it. And I love that you do sort of the goofy faces. I love that you're not like, where the fuck is your check-in? Da, 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 like all this stuff. Like, and it might sound like common sense, but I know there are a lot of coaches get really upset about it. Yeah. And I actually think you hit on a really good point that a lot of coaches completely miss. They either misinterpret or misunderstand or don't take into consideration is that a lot of times clients will ghost not because of anything you've done, but mm-hmm. because they're ashamed that they might not have followed the plan and they don't want to let you down and yes. and they don't want to send you their weight. They don't want to send you their measurements. They don't want to tell you that they sort of quote unquote screwed up. They feel bad. And so instead of discussing it with you, which is exactly what you would want them to do, yes. they end up hiding. And so I've gone through a number of phases as a coach with this. Number one, going from the daily check-ins being like, hey, just checking in, da da da, hey, here I am again, blah blah, hey, da da, all this other stuff. Then to doing something more like waiting a week. So basically, like my coaching philosophy started off with, I used to email with clients every single day. They would email me daily and I would respond daily. And oftentimes I would respond. I mean, when I first started coaching, doing online coaching in like 2012, I think is when I got my first client. I guaranteed a 3-hour response time. Like I would literally wake up in the middle of the night and respond and like check to see if my emails to see if like they had any questions. And I would reply because I thought that I was doing the right thing by them by making sure all of their questions were answered immediately. And I think from a business perspective, that was very smart because they knew they felt cared for. They knew that they had someone there. From a coaching perspective, I think it was handicapping them because I wasn't giving them an opportunity to, number one, feel uncomfortable and yeah. to work through that discomfort and then figure out the answer for themselves.
Yes.
Right? And I think it's a difficult line for coaches to balance between wanting to run a great business and then also wanting to be the best coach that you can be and offer the best service, which also sometimes might mean being okay with clients getting upset that you're not responding to their every like beck and call, every need, every minute. Like it's a tough line to balance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what I used to do was immediately every day, sometimes multiple times a day, hey, haven't heard from you. Hey, I'm always here, da da da. And then what I started doing was I would let it go a week. Yep. Right? So a week would go by. And if I hadn't heard from them, then I'd be like, I'd send them an email. Hey, just want to shoot you an email. I haven't heard from you in a minute. I hope you're all right. Please let me know if there's anything I can do. I'd love to hear from you soon. Something like that.
Yep.
I will fast forward essentially to what I found to work best.
Okay.
What I've found to work best is if they haven't responded in a week or 2 weeks, and this depends on the client. You sort of have to use your judgment based on that individual. Like maybe they travel a lot, maybe they've been going through whatever, or like you have to use your own judgment. But within a week or 2 weeks, what I'll do is I want to get on it relatively quickly. I don't want to wait a month. I don't want to wait like too long. I'll send a voice memo. And voice memos that have been very powerful for me as a coach in online coaching because they're used to emails. They're used to the written word. And my buddy Mike Vacanti said something interesting to me maybe about 6 months ago. He said, do you sign all of your emails with Jay or Jordan? And I was like, yeah, I do, but that's just out of habit. And he was like – he brought up a point. He was like, part of me wonders if I don't sign my emails with my name – do my clients think that it's someone else answering my emails for me? Like, is there any possibility that they might think I have an assistant or someone doing this and they might not even think that it's actually me? So Mike always goes out of his way to respond with Mike at the end of the emails. And so that's one of the reasons why I think voice memos might have a certain amount of power to it in terms of letting them know, like, it's you. Like, they're really interacting with you and like, oh my God, like, to hear your voice, like the voice they hear on social media, the voice they hear elsewhere is like, it's really powerful. And I would send a voicemail, but the content of the voicemail is actually really important. And obviously, like, duh. But basically, what I say is using the knowledge that they're oftentimes feeling ashamed, going at it from the perspective of, this is how my usual voice memo will go in this circumstance. Yep. Hey, so-and-so, I just wanted to shoot you a quick voice memo. I haven't heard from you in a minute. And I don't know what's going on. I don't know if like you're sick. I don't know if something's going on at work. What I want to let you know is this. A lot of times I'll have clients who don't respond or go missing for a little bit because they feel like they screwed up. They feel like they haven't been following their nutrition as well as they should have. They feel like they haven't been doing the workouts as well as they should have. And they feel like they've let me down as a coach. And I don't know if that's what you're going through. You might be going through something completely different. But I do want to let you know that if that is by chance why you're not responding to my emails, you can't fuck this up. And they like, because I have like whole like video courses with this. Like I said that from day one, and I'll say that on day 1001, and I'll say that for the rest of your life, regardless of whether or not we're working together. You can't fuck this up. And I'm always here for you as a friend first and foremost. And if you think that you if you're ashamed or if you think you're letting me down as a coach, you're wrong. You can't screw this up. So if this is what you're going through, please shoot me an email back. At least at the very least, let me know you're safe. And if this isn't what you're going through, shoot me an email anyway, because I want to fucking hear from you and I love you and I'll talk to you soon. And that's usually how the voice memo goes.
Awesome.
And then if that one gets a massive response rate, that one, it's not always 100%, especially when you're working with a lot of people, but that one gets an outrageously high response rate. And the responses are always a lot of times like them crying, being like, oh my God, this is exactly what I'm going through. Thank you so much for sending me that email. Like, I can't believe that like you knew exactly what I was feeling. Like, thank you so much. And yeah, and that's definitely how I go about a client who's ghosted you for sure.
That's awesome. It's much more powerful. And like you said, it's more personal. So they feel like they're talking to a friend as opposed to just, you know, the person behind the email.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a lot of times we'll just sort of, a client will ghost, and sometimes a coach will get resentful. Like they'll get angry. They'll be like, oh, what the fuck? You'll get mad. And they'll send these like quick one-off emails just being like, where are you? What's going on? Hey, da-da. And it's just like, that doesn't take that much effort. And if you really think about your intent, a lot of times coaches are doing it with the intent of being like, shit, I hope they don't cancel their payment.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, hey, I hope they're okay.
Yeah.
And if you have that more, the latter intent of really making sure they're okay, give them the time to make a 3-minute voice memo and send them that, because then they're way more likely to come back and actually get better results.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. I see so often in these, I'm in coaching like Facebook groups, like, you know, fitness pro groups that, have some pretty awesome people in there, but you'll see people ask questions like, you know, I have a client who's, you know, not listening to what I'm telling them, yada, yada, yada. And you'll see like 50% of the coaches just say, okay, fire them. And I'm like, what?
Like, I just hate that shit. It pissed me off so much.
Coach. Oh, I hate it. I was like, what? I was like, it's not the client's fault. I was like, this is, you know, yes, it's up to them ultimately to follow through with the actions to get to where they want to go. But I see it as an invitation to become a better coach. Like, how do you get them there? You know, don't fire them. See it as a challenge for yourself. How can you be better?
I agree with you. And I think that's what separates you and makes you stand out as a really great coach is that, among other things, but especially that mindset.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I'm not the best I could be yet, but I definitely want to be better. Hence why we're on this conversation right now.
Actually, you know what I just remembered?
Yeah.
Do you remember our first ever email interaction?
Yes, I do. I actually remember our first phone call. I think I called you out on social media over something I didn't understand.
Well, no, you called me out on email.
Oh, it was email, wasn't it?
Because I was writing emails about there are pros and cons of a rapid fat loss protocol.
You remember.
I remember. This is so funny because, wow, like that was a complete flashback. But basically, I was writing about there are some times when rapid fat loss is actually beneficial. And you replied and you were like, you were kind about it. You weren't aggressive. You were like, hey, like I usually respect everything you do, but this really doesn't make sense to me. Like, why are you promoting a rapid fat loss? Da, da, da. And I was like, let's get on the phone.
I remember I was in the middle of a workout and I came upstairs to get signal on my phone. And I remember having that conversation with you.
And I love that. It's actually a really good example because from that call, we had a really good call. We were able to then break down why I was doing it in that situation, how I usually don't promote it. In some cases, it actually works really well. We got on a good, we got on good terms, understanding. And then you actually became a client after that.
Yes, that was when you did the daily check-ins. And I was one of the clients who ghosted some of the time too. And you actually sent me a photo. I still have it. I actually posted it on social media. I remember when I was like, oh, I've only lost 3 pounds. And you showed me two photos side by side of each other. And it looked like probably like 10 to 15 pounds. Obviously, I was obsessing over the scale at the time, even though I knew better.
Yeah.
You sent me my before and after picture. And I was just like, oh, right. This is someone's calling me out on my own shit. It's like every good coach needs a coach, I swear.
That's another really good point is that even coaches need coaches, but also it's very easy to get upset at our clients or like to like get annoyed when they're like not seeing the results. But it always comes down to it's your job as the coach to make sure that the client has what they need to succeed. And if I hadn't taken those pictures and if we hadn't like had those side by sides, and if I like just had you as another number, but I didn't actually like know, okay, like here's your file. This is Carrie's file. This is here. Her pictures, her measurements, this is everything. And I can show you that. It's like it very well could have went where you wouldn't have believed progress wasn't being made. And then you would have stopped. It's all of this stuff is super, super important.
It's true. I actually used that with a client not too long ago because I've been practicing. Like I said, I wanted this conversation to get better at it, to get better at coaching. But I have been practicing different techniques. And I did use that with a client recently who was convinced she'd completely messed up. And I noted probably about five different things, five different measures of progress that were non-scale related. You know, measurements were coming down. Her photos had changed. She was exercising 4 times a week, whereas like 5 months prior, she wouldn't get off the couch. I was like, this is huge.
It's amazing.
Like, stop and celebrate yourself. You know? Like it's, and now, you know, she's celebrating small wins and more likely to continue on because she feels better. Right. So
I love that. That yeah. You're doing a very good job. And like that in and of itself is one aspect of motivational interviewing is being able to find the positives and to find the areas in which they are succeeding. And then also to be able to show like the actual data of how they're improving. One way that sort of related to that is calculating the total tonnage of a workout. And this is something I do a lot with in-person clients, especially with someone who is brand new to working out. They're like very nervous to get in the gym. They're very nervous to be lifting weights. They don't know how much weight they can lift. And so it works very, very, very well with women who come in for the first time. They've never wanted to lift weights. They've been told they shouldn't lift weights. They've been told they're weak, like they feel weak. And one thing I'll do is I'll go through the whole workout with them. And let's say, for example, I'm going to get my calculator out right now because I suck at math. But let's just say, for example, they end up doing a kettlebell deadlift with, I don't know, a 50 pound kettlebell.
Yep.
For 4 sets of 10, right? Yep. We'll just say 4 sets of 10. So you calculate the total tonnage. So you do 4 by 10 by 50. So that's 2,000 pounds.
2,000.
So you can say, do you know how much you lifted today in your workout, just in the kettlebells? And they'll be like, I don't know, 50 pounds. We're like, well, actually, if you calculate the total tonnage of it, which is an important measure that we use in weightlifting and high-level weightlifters to calculate how much weight a lifter is lifting over time to make sure their volume and intensity is okay, which they don't know any of the words you're throwing out, but they do know that it's an important measure that high-level weightlifters will use. You actually lifted 2,000 pounds today. And they're like, shut the fuck up. I'm like, yeah, no, I'll show them. And I'll do it on the calculator. I'll show them to their face. I'm like, you lifted 2,000 pounds. And they immediately smile. They immediately like, oh my God, I lifted 2,000 pounds. I've done that with clients. they'll go on Facebook and they'll say, I lift, they'll tell people what their total tonnage was for the day. And they'll, and like, they get super excited. And then you can calculate that for the next session. Like, listen, last time you lifted 2000, this time you did 2200. Like, and they can then use that as motivation to come back. That's also outside of scale related. Now they can actually start focusing on strength progression. It's super cool.
That's awesome. Cause I've never thought about using the total tonnage before. Like, I've used like, hey, you're lifting 5 pounds heavier, or you just did an extra rep, or, you know, like just different modifications. But that's a clever way. I really like that.
It's one of the things where when you say, well, oh, look, you did an extra rep, it sounds cool. But when you actually calculate how much that means in terms of total tonnage, it sounds way better. And it actually shows them how valuable it is.
Yeah. And then it makes them feel badass, which is like the best thing, right?
Exact. And then they end up getting more motivation. They stay more consistent and they take more action. And so the cycle continues.
Yeah, the momentum builds, and yeah, it's so. I honestly, it's so important to find ways to help them feel good along the way, because really, if you don't, you're never going to get very far. Like that's, I find that's like the most important thing, is you know, setting the tone, finding ways to feel good, even if it is just celebrating yourself along the way, how much you've lifted. You know, maybe you made a new recipe that rocked, or you know what I mean, whatever it is. But I really like that method.
Good. Any other questions?
Oh, let me see. Let's see what I got here. All right. I was like, we've kind of answered a lot of them along the way, so I'm taking them off. So let me just see. Okay, so like troubleshooting with someone, like someone has all of the information, they understand it. And say they like, okay, I'll use an example. Someone who like literally could write a book on this stuff. Like say it would be like you coaching me.
Okay.
We'll use it as that example. And it's like every single weekend, the same thing happens. It's like too many drinks, ends up having a ton of desserts out for dinner or whatever, and like going way over calories, and then on Monday is just beating themselves up about it, like a constant cycle. You know, and like trying to get them out of that, like I've tried to work out, you know, finding their why as opposed to just wanting to look good for a birthday party. You know, to try and find the deeper rooted why to help them out of this cycle.
Yep.
But I feel like I could probably do better.
And so this is someone who has all the knowledge, but they're just not doing it.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's, you know, like maybe going on like 2 years worth of, you know, doing well, and, but also has a history of doing, you know, keto, and there's some ideal protein diet and things like that, where, you know, they go into these extremes and losing it and then kind of bouncing back.
And is the drinking a main issue?
Yes. Yeah, I would say so, because it's usually like they don't know how to just have one. It kind of, and I wouldn't like say they're downing like 10 drinks or anything. It would be like 3 or 4. But then when the 3 or 4 come, it's easier to just take handfuls of chips and.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just alcohol. It's what happens after the alcohol. And yeah. Is this basically like more or less every weekend type of thing?
Yeah. And I do find, cause it's been more than one person with a similar situation. I find it's my clients who want to like kind of work through like body recomposition. Like maybe someone who is like slightly skinny fat, maybe wants to build a bit more muscle, lose 5 pounds, you know, I have more luck, not luck, but better, you know, more luck with clients who have maybe 50 pounds to lose as opposed to like 5 or 10.
Yep.
If that makes sense. Like
yeah,
that.
Of course. When they're starting from a place of where they have a lot more to lose and they're like way, they're not nearly as advanced, they end up being a little bit more, they're more strict with it. They're more on point. Exactly. What I've found is a lot of times people who are already relatively lean, especially as they get more, they hear more about this flexible dieting, it becomes very difficult. It's a hard line for people to balance between, okay, well, I want to be a flexible dieter,
Yes.
But I also want to get results.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a fine line with flexible dieting because people think it just means you can track as you go and eat a whole bunch of crap. But really, it's kind of going back to basics. Like, you really got to keep it simple and fit in little bits of treats, right? Like, it's still the end of the day, protein and veggies are going to be the number one thing, right?
You know, as a coach and as a content creator, this has been one thing that I've struggled with a lot.
Yeah.
Is a lot of people very much mistake flexible dieting to mean, oh, I can eat whatever I want and whatever quantity I want. And as long as I just say I'll get back on track,
yes,
then we'll be fine.
Yes.
And in some cases, yeah, that's true. But it depends how much you actually want to make progress. And it depends what your definition of success is going to be. If you're a dude and you're cool being 18% body fat and like you like are cool like being fit and healthy, but you don't necessarily want to be shredded or like look like you really, really lift, but you're just cool being more of that like flexible dieting and also just being a higher body fat percentage, then fine, that's great. But if you're a dude and you want to be 8% body fat, 10% body fat, then your idea of flexible dieting is going to be very different than someone who's 18, 22, 25% body fat.
Absolutely.
And that's really what we need to get across as coaches and help people understand. And so I've had a number of people with this, but I remember one person in particular who was drinking a lot, like a very significant amount every weekend. And she was not willing to give it up at all. She was like, no, because I don't want to stop drinking. I want to be a flexible dieter. And like she kept – and this is one of the first times when I was like, oh, she doesn't understand what flexible dieting means, because she was drinking a lot. She was having like 10 to 12 drinks a week. And then like you said, it's not just what you're drinking, but what you're eating after you're drinking or while you're drinking.
And the next morning, because you feel like crap, so you're more likely just going to grab anything, right?
Yeah, you just say, fuck it, whatever. And I remember trying to, for the first 3 months that we worked together, trying to accommodate for what she considered to be flexible dieting. Essentially being like trying to say like, okay, listen, like you can have some, that's fine. Maybe do you want to try and reduce the total number of drinks you're having a week because you're having 10 to 12? And there was a lot of resistance with this idea of like, but I want to be a flexible dieter. So we went for the first 3 months. And at the end of those 3 months, I sent her update pictures side by side, just like I'd done with you. But she had made essentially zero physical progress. She'd gotten stronger, but physically she didn't look very much different, if at all. And I sent her, I was like, what do you think of your progress? And she was like, honestly, I would have thought I would have made more progress by now. And I was like, okay, cool. So what do you think we should do going forward? Like, do you think there's anything that you could change with your nutrition that might help you make more progress? And she was like, well, I know that it's my drinking, but I don't want to stop because I want to be a flexible dieter. And I was like, okay, let's try something. I said, let's try not drinking for 30 days at all. And I said, I want to do this as a challenge. Number one, because if you can't not drink for 30 days, you have a fucking problem, right?
Yes.
Period. If you can't not drink for 30 days, you have a problem. Number two is if at the end of these 30 days, you want to go back to drinking 10 to 12 drinks a week, go for it. It's just 30 days. If at the end you want to keep doing it, go for it. But let's just see what happens for 30 days when you do this challenge, no drinks. And she was like, deal. By 2 weeks in, she'd made more physical progress than she had the entire 3 months, and she gave up drinking. Because she was like, it's not worth it. She was like, I've made more progress in these 2 weeks just by following the guidelines than I did in 3 months by trying to be a flexible dieter. And she was like, and basically of her own accord and her own choice, she made the decision to stop. Now, eventually she started adding drinks back in again, but instead of 10 to 12, it was 2 to 4. And she knew what she had to do to maintain it. And she now knew what flexible dieting actually was. And I think what's a really important way to sort of encourage this is, number one, she identified what the problem was. She knew what it was. I didn't force her through it for the first 3 months. I didn't say you have to do this. I didn't say this is what you need to do for the first 3 months. And she identified drinking as the problem. And when finally it got to a point where making the suggestions and trying to accommodate wasn't working anymore, I was like, let's do a challenge. And I think challenges are a very, very, very good way. And it's a lot of coaches hate on like 30-day challenges, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's not the challenge. It's not that challenges are bad. It's that how some coaches are framing challenges is bad.
Absolutely.
And you can, if you do a 30-day challenge to lose 30 pounds, yeah, that's fucking stupid. But if one of your clients is really struggling with drinking too much, sometimes giving them a 30-day challenge with no drinking, because number one, it's a problem if they can't take 30 days off. And number two, sometimes it's just the results they'll see in those 30 days that will be a catalyst for them to get more motivated to actually reduce it on their own. That can work very, very well. And that's definitely something that I've found to work with my clients and with this one in particular, and might work with you too.
Oh, that's powerful. I love that. Like, you just basically showed them, like, the same way you showed me the photo. You showed them, hey, look at, this is the progress you've made. Is this what you want? You know, and you threw the ball back in their court. Like, you, you know, gave them the control to make their own decisions.
And I think one thing to pay attention to is sort of how I framed the question, because yeah, there was some back and forth. I was like, well, what do you think? And she was like, I thought I would have been making more progress. Right. And she was like, especially considering like how much work I've been putting in the gym. And I was like, you've been working so hard in the gym and your strength has gone up. It's been great. I was like, what about your nutrition? And she was like, it's okay. I was like, okay, so where, and the way I frame the question is this, I say, tell me one thing that you think you're doing really well with your nutrition, and tell me one thing you know you can improve with your nutrition. Okay. And here they have an opportunity to explain what they're doing well, to sort of to brag to, or to just to feel good about what they're doing nutrition-wise. And then the other opportunity to be open and honest and say, this is what I know I really need to improve. And you'll get a variety of answers with different people, but a lot of it will boil down to the weekend, to tracking better. In this case, it was too much drinking, which we had been a consistent discussion throughout those first 3 months. And it was a battle in terms of trying to get her to reduce it. And this is also where I think a lot of times where moderation isn't the best choice. Sometimes like you need to say like, let's give this the fuck up. Yes. Because what will happen is literally what happened, it's a perfect example. She gave it up. I was a 30-day challenge. Within 2 weeks, she gave it up completely. And then she had gave it up completely for several months. And then, boom, she was able to add it back in more moderately later down the road. And one of my favorite sayings is, in order to find balance, sometimes you have to go through periods of being unbalanced. And it's very hard sometimes for people to go from drinking 10 to 12 to drinking just 3 to 4. But sometimes going from 10 to 12 to 0 is way easier, because you just have that clear guideline, this I'm not having any. And then once they know what to do, then they can add a little bit more back in while keeping their new goals and their new lifestyle in mind.
Exactly. Yeah. And they know the world didn't stop because they were drinking like zero drinks as opposed to 10 to 12. Like, it's like, hey, the world didn't explode. I actually feel pretty good. And look at the progress I've made. So it helps them to actually experience it. Right. And see how it feels.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I really like that. Like, spending time unbalanced for a bit to discover what it's like to truly be balanced.
Yeah. And
you're for balance, right?
You can use this same type of a challenge in many scenarios. I've used the same type of a challenge with people who are like, you know, I want to do this, but like, I don't want a calorie count. And like, they're not losing they're not making progress. They're not losing weight. And it's like, listen, well, actually, the first question I have is, and this is a really important question, I'll say, why did you hire me?
Yes.
And this is a very deliberately phrased question, because it's not random, and it's not like I did this very deliberately, because when you say, why did you hire me? Their answer will have to be what their goal was in mind, what they've been wanting to achieve, and why they haven't been able to achieve it.
Yep.
Inherently, why did you hire me? Because I want to be able to lose fat, to feel more comfortable in my clothes, because I trust you, whatever it is, like, because they're going to outline exactly why they hired you as a coach. And it's like, okay, listen. So that all that makes perfect sense. You know that I'm a big believer in calorie counting. You also know that I don't think everyone has to calorie count for the rest of their lives.
Yep.
What do you think about doing a 30-day challenge where you track literally everything you eat for 30 days? And if at the end of 30 days, you'd never want to track a calorie again, you don't have to. But just do this for 30 days, or even you could say for 7 days, for 14 days, for whatever, some type of a challenge where like, okay, and they can see the end from before they start, they can see the end. I think a lot of times when people just hear calorie counting and they think like for the rest of my life, it's like, no.
Obsessive.
It gets obsessive and it's daunting to think this is what I have to do forever. It's like, you can see the end date before you've even started, that you have a 30-day challenge, you have a 7-day challenge. Just do this for this brief period of time, because sometimes it just takes that brief period of time for them to realize, number one, it's not that bad. And number two, for them to identify where the leak is, so that then they know how to fix it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I really like that. And I guess, you could use that with any excuse that kind of, or whatever roadblock is blocking them from, you know, making progress.
Exactly.
Which would kind of go into my last question, which would be, to put it bluntly, like how to own your own shit, like to see through your own excuses, you know, to get people to actually have like that aha moment where they're like, hey, like I actually do have time, or, you know, yeah, maybe I am saying I'm too tired in the morning, but when I actually go to the gym, I feel great after, like to, you know what I mean? To kind of bust through their own excuses.
Yeah. So it's a great question. Yeah. Do you have any specific examples of that or no? And if you don't, that's fine.
Let me think. Like a lot of the time it's like, I don't have time is a popular one. I have people who, like, for example, with food, who will come in for a 12 o'clock session and be like, oh, I haven't eaten yet. You know, this morning was so busy at work. And in my head, I'm like, well, you could have prepared your meals last night, but, you know, and eaten before the day. But like to kind of, I can't tell them that. Like, I want them to be like, hey, you know, I could do this. So kind of like helping them see through their own shit. Or someone who, another good example would be someone who swears day and night that they're being bang on with their calories, but really they're not tracking accurately, or when they're eating out, they're kind of estimating, or, you know, under tracking kind of, from that angle. Like I've had to call myself out on it before. I've tracked incorrectly going out to restaurants. You know, it's really easy because there's a lot of hidden stuff in there. And I was like, you know what? If I eat out less, I'll probably make more progress. But how to get someone else to see that?
Yeah.
Constantly badgering them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I have a bunch of different questions that I'll ask an individual going through this leading up to, because, and I think just what I just said is very important in terms of, I have questions that I ask them.
Yes.
I think a lot of coaches are very quick to just jump to the solution.
Yes.
Which is basically, you're fucking tracking wrong.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, you're missing something.
Say.
Right? It's like, which is, it's 9.9 times out of 10 accurate.
Yeah.
And it's, we just want to get to the solution. Like, hey, you're tracking wrong somewhere, fucking fix it.
Exactly.
Right? It's like, but it's not the best way to coach, and they're going to get pissed off, and it doesn't actually show them where they're incorrectly tracking. And a lot of times when you just tell someone that, they get pissed.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, fuck off. When if they come up with the answer on their own, they're way more likely to actually realize it, internalize it, and do something to fix it.
yes.
So I'll do a number of things, and I have a bunch of leading questions if someone's not making the progress that I know they should be. First one is, I'll be like, hey, so are you tracking all of your calories? Just like the first one. Are you tracking all, everything? Yes, I'm tracking everything. From there, I used to ask, are you weighing and measuring or eyeballing? But what I stopped doing that because – a lot of people knew what the quote unquote right answer was supposed to be, and they would lie.
Yes.
And so what I started doing was I would say, which brand scale are you using to weigh your food? Good. And from there, they're not usually going to lie. Like, and another option I would do is I'd be like, could you do me a favor? A lot of people actually unknowingly mess up the scale, like weighing their food process. Could you take a quick video of me, take a quick video of yourself measuring one of your meals for me and send it to me via email?
That's awesome.
And that way I can see, number one, what scale you're using, how you're using it, da da da. And a lot of times, like, they'll be like, oh, like, I haven't actually gotten a scale yet, or I'm not weighing my food, I've been eyeballing it. And now here all of a sudden we have, okay, cool. So they've just told me they're not doing it. I didn't say you're not doing it. They've told me that. And a lot of times they'll be like, I know I was supposed to get it, but I didn't get it yet. Or like, I don't have it or whatever. I'm like, okay. And so now it's like, okay, so, okay, got it. So you're eyeballing it. Yeah, yeah. I was like, okay. So like we've been saying from the beginning, that's not the most accurate way to do it. And I guarantee if you're weighing it, you're going to realize you're overeating. They're like, yeah, yeah. And so sometimes that'll cut it off right there. But sometimes they are weighing some of their food, and sometimes they are. Like, so they'll send me the weight, they'll send me all of that. And I'll be like, okay, awesome. So what I'll do is I'll then say to the effect of, okay, awesome. So you're weighing your food. Could you send me pictures of literally everything that you eat for 7 days? Now, if this doesn't solve it, then we go into more questions. But usually a lot of times this will be it. Like, this will be where literally I'll be like, I don't care if you're putting ice in your mouth. I want pictures of literally everything you're eating for the next week. Take pictures of everything, put them into one email, and send me every single thing. I don't care where you are. Take pictures of every single thing. And then from there, like, they'll be like, holy shit, I didn't realize that I was like eating that. I didn't realize that I was, how often I was reaching for snacks. I was like, every single time you put something in your mouth, you take a picture of it and you put it in an email and you send it to me.
Right.
Then from there, I would say probably 95% of things have been solved at this point. But sometimes you'll still get someone who's like not being fully honest with you, or like not actually sending you everything, or whatever it is. And this is where the question comes in handy, basically being like, tell me one thing that you're doing really well with your nutrition, and tell me one thing that you can improve with your nutrition. And basically from, or there's another way that I can frame this beforehand. I could be like, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being absolutely awful, just terrible, you're not following your guidelines ever, 10 being literally 100% perfect, meticulous, every single calorie is accounted for, like on the side of neurotic, where do you fall on that? And they'll be like, 7 or an 8. I'll be like, okay, why did you say a 7 or an 8 and not a 9 or a 10? And this is a very deliberate way of asking that question. Because if I had asked the opposite, if I had said, why do you say a 7 or an 8 and not like a 5 or a 6, they would have told me why they're doing really well. But because I said, tell me why a 7 or 8 and not a 9 or a 10, they're going to tell me where they're screwing up. They're going to tell me where they're not actually doing it as they properly should. And so then from there, usually they'll be like, oh, well, you know, like overall during the week, I'm great. But on the weekends, you know, I'm not as careful as I should be with tracking, or like I do end up like, you know, having difficulty when I'm out with my friends or whatever it is. And maybe I have a couple extra drinks. And I just recently had a conversation with an online client where this was going on, where I was like, tell me, basically, I was like, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I think I said to the effect of, where do you think you're letting things go? And she was like, I didn't say where do you think you're letting, basically we were talking, she's been stalemated for a while. And I was like, so it sounds like during the week you're doing great, but on the weekends you're not doing as well as you could. Is that right? And she was like, no, the weekends are actually the best part. The week is really where I struggle. And I was like, okay, well, tell me why, like what's going on? And she was like, well, actually I can't really understand it, because during the weeks, and this is like a legitimate discussion, like we're going back and forth here. And it's crazy to have these emails stacked on top of each other, because you can see her going back and forth between what she's saying. And she's like, I was like, tell me what you mean. She was like, well, actually I don't really understand, because during the weeks I'm perfect, da da da. And I was like, okay, so if you had to pick one spot in your nutrition that you think you're not doing as well as you could, where would it be? And she was like, you know what? Now that I think about it, it's probably the weekends. And we had literally just gone through where she was like, no, the weekends are the best part. She's like, the weekends were where I'm on point. And I was like, oh, so it is the weekends. All right, so where in the weekends are you screwing up, or where in the weekends is the energy leak? And then she literally identified exactly where. But it's really important to remember that was a chain of emails back and forth where she literally flip-flopped back and forth telling me where the leak was, where it wasn't. And until finally she got to the point where she was like, oh, it's actually the weekends. Like, this is where it is. And this was not an easy discussion. This is a lot of questioning, giving her an opportunity, giving an opportunity. And if I had just said, you're not fucking tracking right, then that wouldn't have happened. And ever since then, now she's over the last like 4 or 5 weeks, she's lost about 6 pounds, which is the most she's made progress in the last 2 months. And it's because she finally got to that point where she was like, okay, this is the weekend, this is where I struggle. And I actually gave her a challenge. I said, if you can be – because she was getting frustrated that she had like sort of stalemated. And I was like, listen, every time that you've been 100% consistent with your nutrition, you've been making progress. Every time that you've found yourself sort of making excuses or been saying that this isn't working because that you're not being very consistent, you end up stalemating. Yep. If you can give me 100% consistency for the next 30 days, I guarantee you, you'll start to make progress. And she hit an all-time low in the last couple of days. She was super excited. And she sent me an email being like, you're going to be so happy. I went out on the weekends and it was really hard for me, but I stuck with it. And boom, then she weighed in the next day and it was an all-time low.
That's awesome.
And it's like, if you had just started with, you're not fucking tracking right,
None of that would happen.
Never would have happened. No. And it's that's why it's so important, as you know, to have these conversations that are basically framed with you asking questions and them being able to answer them rather than you just telling them the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it comes through practice too, right? Like, I mean, you get better at it the more clients you coach. And, you know, I find it even powerful through like Instagram, through social media. I mean, you have the DMs right there. You can practice and help gazillions of people, whoever you chat with, whoever's watching your stories. And you can take the opportunity to practice there as well, asking questions and helping people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's something I've been doing. I mean, it's like free school. Because, I mean, I love helping people. And I was like, oh, you asking me questions is helping me learn better. So
it's exactly right. And it's like, it's a really good point. I know a lot of times people will get DMs like, well, how do I do this? And they'll just tell them the answer right away. It's like, don't tell them the answer. Ask them a question. It's like, if they're like, hey, like, I'm really struggling with cravings. Like, how do I solve my cravings? Don't just say like, okay, well, here's the best way to solve cravings. It's like, ask them a question. It's like, well, let me ask you this. Like, you give me your top 2 to 3 best ideas for what you think might work for solving cravings. Then I'll give you some of my thoughts after that. It's you get them talking. You get them being a critical thinker. It's, yes. I think the job of a coach isn't to just provide the solution. It's how to teach your client to come up with a solution on their own without you.
Absolutely. I think the most, the best thing about a coach is when I have a client who breaks free and doesn't need me anymore. You know, I'll get more clients through referrals, you know, from that person later on. You know, they'll be like, oh, who helped you or whatnot. You know, I don't want someone that needs me for the rest of their lives. One of the best clients I've had, she actually went off and became a coach herself. And like, I couldn't have been more proud. It was incredible. Like, I wasn't insulted. I was like, this is awesome. Like, you've taken away something from our time together.
I'm with you completely. And it's, I think what's interesting is a lot of coaches operate under this, this scarcity mindset where they consciously or not, don't want their clients to leave.
Yeah.
And then they'll do things that ironically end up causing them to leave sooner.
Yeah.
And also unsuccessfully.
Exactly.
Whereas if you do what is right, which is usually the more time intensive, more difficult one, they'll stay with you longer, they'll get better results for it, and you'll get more referrals as a coach because of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My in-person clients, like I teach them. Like when I'm giving them exercises, I'm like, this is why we're doing this. And hey, like if you were in a gym by yourself, here's a quick and easy dumbbell workout you can do. This is why we're doing this. And, you know, I'm trying to instill confidence in them. I'm like, you're here, you know, it's not the exercise program you're paying me for. It's me, you know, it's me being here and holding you accountable. Like, let me at least teach you. I mean, anyone can Google an exercise program and they're paying for the coach. So I want to actually give them value.
100%.
Teach them something. It's not like I have the best workout program, you know what I mean? Like I don't have the secret calorie target to give someone. I provide that for you. I'm like, here, you can figure it out yourself if you want someone to hold you accountable and help you call you out on your own bullshit. Like I'm here, you know.
But that's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, so it's just getting better at asking the questions and practicing it. And I've even noticed throughout the whole conversation you using that exact technique on me while we're
talking. That's exactly right.
Like, I see what you're doing over there.
It's one of the things where now it's become a habit of mine that's how I structure a lot of my conversations. Yeah. And I think I think the best communicators are oftentimes the ones that are speaking less and listening more. And I think it's one of those things that we all tend to know, and like you even know that. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of the conversation, you even said yourself, I end up speaking at them during that first call more than I do listen. And it just comes down to starting the call by asking the question that will allow them to speak. It's not any magic question, just like there's not any magic calorie formula. It's how can you structure the call that allows them to feel comfortable enough to speak? And and it's one of my most favorite questions. I'll do this at like a party, and we'll end on this one. This is probably one of the best tips that I can give anybody if they go to a party and they don't know how to start a conversation with someone, or like they're in a group of people where there's stale conversation. You can always ask, so how'd you end up here in terms of like in this city?
Oh, that's a good one.
So how'd you end up in this city? And from that question, you will get someone's life story. So how'd you end up in Chicago? Well, let me tell you, I was born and raised in Tallahassee. And they'll go off on an entire fucking tangent just from that one question. They're so happy to tell you how the fuck they ended up in Chicago. And it's like, it's one of those things where you just ask the right question and people will tell you everything. And that's really all it is.
That's awesome. I love it. Quick and simple.
That's it. Well, I hope this was helpful.
Absolutely. This was great. I appreciate it big time.
Good. Thank you for getting on the phone with me. And I'm going to give you the chance. You don't have to if you don't want, but do you want to share your social media so if people want to follow you, they can?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Go ahead. Share it.
Yeah. Oh, mine's Carrie Lee Fitness, the same as my Skype name.
Carrie Lee Fitness. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Love you. Anything more clever, but it works. It's simple.
That's perfect. Amazing. Thank you, Carrie.
All right. I'll chat with you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And Carrie, thank you so much for taking the time to ask these questions. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a review on iTunes. They help a ton. I know I've been asking a lot lately, but I didn't realize how much they help. So it would really mean the world to me and to everyone who's already done it. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon.